Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Yud Zayin. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We will be beginning the shiur at the third line from the top of daf Yud Zayin. Before we begin the actual Gemara text, let us just recount that at the end of our previous shiur, we had seen a number of Toshmas attempted, they were actually questions that were focused on what we had seen Rav to have said regarding the Mashkin Beis Mitvachaya. We're, of course, assuming that you heard our previous shiur so that we don't have to give too much intensive background. And in the previous shiur, a pasuk was quoted at the end of the final toshma at the bottom of Tezayim Beis, a pasuk which was quoted from the Novi Chagai, where the Novi had presented a test to the Kohanim regarding their familiarity of the laws of Tumas and Taras, especially the different levels of Tumas and Taras, and in the course of the questions, we saw Shitas Rav that said that the Kohanim had made a mistake, and in that discussion, we were introduced, as we just said, to Shitas Rav regarding that pasuk. And in our Gemara, as it opens up, we will see there's actually a machlokas Rav and Shmuel regarding the pasuk that was presented to the Kohanim at that time regarding their knowledge of Tumas and Taras. So as we begin today's Gemara, it is in effect a new discussion, not tying in directly to the previous discussion, even though there is this point, this common point, namely the last Toshma, which featured a pasuk, will be the focus of the opening of our discussion today. Before we read the Gemara, on the side we have a nosei, a topic heading, where we've written there's a machlokas Rav Shmuel im haKohanim bizman Chagai haNovi tou. Did the Kohanim in the time of the prophet Chagai, did they make a mistake? B'mash shetiharu b'sheilas tumas kochim. Did when they declared, when they answered that after the question was posed, they answered it is not tomei. Was that answer that it's not tome, is that a correct response? Lefi Rav Nishalu al Ravi'i, according to Rav, they were asked about a fourth level of Tuma in the realm of Kochim, and they said it's Tohor, and as far as that is concerned, that would constitute a mistake, because a fourth level Tuma in the realm of Kochim is a reality. And we've also noted Lefi Shmuel Nishalu al Chamishi, according to Shmuel, they were asked about a fifth level Tuma in the realm of Kochim, and they said it is Tohor and Velo Tohu. And responding to that, that there's no fifth level Tuma, that is correct. So there's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Did the Kohanim respond in an accurate fashion to the question that had been posed to them? We now turn to the Gemara. Gufa. Gufa represents a quote focusing on that which had been quoted in passing earlier. We're now going to focus on that. So Gufa, Rav Omar Ishtabish Kahani. Rav said that the Kohanim made a mistake with their response that a Revi'i B'Kodesh, a fourth level Tumah in Kodesh, is not Tomei. The Shmuel Amar Lo Ishtavish Kanin. Shmuel says no, the Kohanim did not make a mistake, because they had been asked about a fifth level Tumah, which the Gemara will spell this out in a moment. We're saying it a little bit ahead of time, that they had been asked about a fifth level of Tumah with regard to Kochim, and they said it is Tohor, and that is not a mistake. Now the Gemara elaborates. Rav Omar Ishtabish Kohani, the Kohanim, by answering that it's Tohor, was a mistake. Revi B'Kodesh Bo Minayu, a fourth level of Tuma in the realm of Kochim, in the realm of sacrifices, was presented to them as a question. The Omru lay, and the Kohanim answered, Tohor, that there is no fourth level, and that's a mistake. Ushmul Omar lo ishtavish Kohani, that which the Kohanim responded, that it is Tohor, was not a mistake. Hamishi v'kodesh bo minayo, the Novi had asked the Kohanim, is there a fifth level of Tumah? The Omru lay Tohor, and they answered, no, there is no fifth level of Tumah, it is Tohor. Bishlamo l'Rav, Hainu d'chtiv, according to Rav, that said they were asked about a fourth level of Tumah. Just to review for those who are not quite familiar, when we speak about fourth level, there is the primary level of Tumah is an Av HaTumah, and if an Av touches something that's subject to Kabbalah's Tumah, that item becomes then a Rishon. The Av touching the item being touched by the Av then becomes a Rishon. Rishon touches something else, it becomes a Sheni. Sheni touches something else, if you're in the realm of Trumas or Kochim, it becomes a Shlishi. And the Shlishi, if it touches something else, if it's in the realm of Kochim, in the realm of sanctified sacrificial items, it becomes a Revi'i. So the Gemara, now we have a structural note to pay attention to. We have the double underline, and under the Mivneh heading on the side, you see the Bishlama, Le, etc. is double underline, which indicates that after certain pieces of information are presented, the Gemara will say that this works out according to one of the two opinions. We'll also use a volcano marking, and if you can skim ahead, you'll see a number of these. They are makoros. When the narrow part of the volcano marking is facing upwards, they are makoros shemashma karav. There will be sources that would seem to support Rav's point of view, and when you see a flipped over trapezoid, you'll notice that's mashma kishmuel. And we'll be squiggle underlining the names that we want to emphasize. That's Hadgosha Shemos Kedei Lahokel Al Ha'amakav. We're going to squiggle underline the names so as to make it a little easier to follow the give and take of the Gemara. So we said, Bishlamo L'Rav, Hainu Dichtiv Arbo'o, according to Rav's approach, in his opinion, they had been asked about a fourth level of Tumah. And hence, when you look at the pasuk, you see four items, and it says in the four items that had been touched one successively to the other. And in the pasuk, it mentioned lechem, the nozid, the yayin, the shemen. Namely, there was an av hatumah that touched lechem, making it a rishon. The lechem touched nozid, which is a cooked dish, that making it a sheni. The nozid touched yayin, touched wine, making it a shlishi. And the wine touched oil, making it a revi. So they were asked about a revi. But tumah fits into the scheme, the series of items mentioned in the pasuk. Well, the Shmuel, chamisha minole. According to Shmuel, though, where do you see a reference to a fifth level of tumah in the question that the Kohanim had been asked? So the Gemara answers, Miksiv v'noga knofo. We had explained in our previous year the word knaf that appears in the pasuk that was cited. We saw the pasuk cited at the bottom of Tezayim Beis. You can see it if you have it in front of you. You can look back four lines from the bottom. It said, "Hein yiso ish b'sar kodesh b'chnaf b'gdo." Venaga b'knofo el halechem v'el anozim v'el yayin v'el hashemen, etc. So Shmuel says, if you look carefully at the pasuk, you'll see that there is in fact a reference to a fifth level of tumah, which of course doesn't exist. Now, how do you see that in the words? So Shmuel answers, mi ksi venaga knofo. Does it say that? It doesn't say that. Now, knofo meant a sheretz. A sheretz is an av hatuma, but it didn't say v'noga knofo in the pasuk where the knofo touches the bread, but rather v'noga b'knofo ksiv. The beis makes a big difference. It says v'noga b'knofo, the bread touched b'knofo. What does that indicate? Bima shenoga b'knofo. In other words, the bread had touched an item that had touched a sheretz. So the bread is coming into contact with a rishon. So if that's the case, you could go back to the list of items where we numbered them off. The bread, in effect, would be considered a sheni lutuma, the nozid a shlishi, the ayin a revi, and the shemen a chamishi. And they answered tohor, which would be correct. Toshma. Now the trapezoid inverted, so we're now going to bring a source that will seem to lead in the direction of Shmuel. The pasuk says, "Vayomer Chagai im iga tome nefesh bechol eile haitome vayanu akoyanim vayomru itame." Now at this point, the thought that we have in explaining the expression tome nefesh is we're referring to a tome mace. Now a tome mace is an av hatuma, and he is like a sheretz in that sense. A tome mace is someone who had been in contact with a corpse. So he is the person who had contact with a corpse. He himself is an av hatuma. An av hatuma is when he touches then the next item, it will become a rishon. So the Gemara continues. Bishlomo l'Shmuel, midahocha lo ishtabish, from the fact that over here in the question, this second question posed by the prophet, namely, where a tomei nefesh touches the bread, etc., they did not make a mistake, because what were they in effect asked? They were asked if someone was tomei l'nefesh, touches bread, and the bread then touches the nozid, and the nozid touches the yayin, etc., will there be tumah at that fourth level? And they answered, there will be tumah. There's tumah there. So according to Shmuel, in the question regarding the tumas nefesh that was posed, the second question, they did not make a mistake. Lo ishtabish. Hosam nami, in the first question involving the knaf, the sheretz, nami lo ishtabish. They did not make a mistake there either. And just like over here in the case of tumas nefesh where they answered, there is tumah, and they are correct. So too in the first question, where they answered, it will be tahor, they must have been correct, and that would be, as Shmuel explained, that they were asked about a fifth level, as we already explained, in focusing on the word biknofo. Ela l'rav, according to Rav, that would explain the first question with the knaf, as referring to a sheretz touching the bread. And this second question that the prophet asks, Haggai asks them, if a tomei nefesh would touch the bread, would there be a fourth level tumah? So according to Rav, Maishna Hocha, what is different about the question involving the sheretz to establish that they made a mistake? Umaishna Hosam, in the case of the tomei nefesh, to lo establish. Was why would they in one area give a correct answer and the other area give an incorrect answer? Omar of Nachmon, Omar Rabo Baravua. Notice we have a number one. This is the first of a couple of approaches to answering this problem. So Rav Nachman says, "Bekiyin hein betumas meis, vein bekiyin hein betumas sheretz." They were knowledgeable in the realm of tumas meis, and so they knew the laws that if you start off with a tomei meis touching the bread, eventually you can get to a fourth level of kedusha. And they answered that correctly, that there will be tumah. When they were asked about tumas sheretz, the first question, they were not familiar with those halachas, hence they gave an erroneous response. Ravina Omar, Hassam, in the case of the sheretz question, Ravi'i, they were asked about a fourth level tumah, and they didn't know, they didn't give a correct answer, because of their lack of familiarity with the area of fourth level tumah. Hacha, in the case involving the tomei nefesh shlishi, they were asked about a third level tumah. And how do you explain that? How do you see in the pasuk, if you go back to the recent inverted trapezoid, it says Vayomer Chagai im iga tomei nefesh. Now that expression tomei nefesh means a corpse itself. And that being the case, the final item in that list will then be a third level tumah, which is a more severe level of tumah. So that they were familiar with. So when they were asked in the pasuk featuring the knaf, the first question they were asked about the starting point was a sheretz, which is called an avatumah. So they were being asked in effect, what about reaching a fourth level tumah. So they were not familiar with that, and hence they made a mistake. However, in the pasuk involving tamei nefesh, since you're starting out with a corpse itself, and we didn't mention this earlier, but a corpse is called avi avos hatumah. It's the father of fathers of tumah, so to speak. So that's that would be your starting point. The second item then in the list would become an av hatumah, and the next item would be the rishon, and finally the last, and then the next item a sheni, and finally a shlishi. So if you keep track of the different levels, you would be reaching, if you're starting with what's called avi avos hatumah, the highest level of tumah, which is represented by the corpse, the last item in the list, which in effect was the shemen, that would have reached only a third level of tumah, which that they knew about. Toshma vayan chagai vayomer. Kain ha'om hazeh v'chein ha'goy hazeh lefonai ne'um Hashem v'chein kol ma'asi yedeim v'asher yakrivu shom tomei hu. So that's a pasuk in the same context. And that, having noticed the trapezoid with the narrow part facing up, we know, as the Gemara says, Bishlam ol Rav, according to Rav that said the Kohanim had made a mistake, Hainu dichtiv tomei. I understand why the Almighty, in responding, says that their maisi yadayim, their actions, result in tumah. In other words, they had answered that incorrectly. They had said there's tahara, that it's tahar, when in fact there was tumah. So the pasuk featuring the response of the Almighty says, well, everything they do is tomei, since they're ignorant of the halacha, so their actions will result in tumah, in defilement. Elo l'Shmuel, amai tomei, but according to Shmuel, why does the pasuk declare that what they produce will be tomei? The Gemara says, atmui komatma. The tone of the pasuk is one that's read in wonderment, not as a statement. And Rashi says on the first wide line, under the Gemara text in the Rashi, atmui komatma, we'll read Rashi, me'achar shebekiyin hein behilchus tumah, after their having demonstrated knowledge in the realm of the laws of tumah, the chi kol masay yedayim tomehu, would you say that all of their actions are actions of tumah, of defilement? So you read it with a wonderment tone, things can be understood. The Gemara asks, v'ha v'chein kol masay yedayim ksiv. It goes on to say in the pasuk, likewise all of their actions. Now, that doesn't sound like a loshon, like an expression of wonderment. Rather, it sounds declarative. Omar mar zutro vitema ravashi, mitoch shikilkulu es maaseim, since they were, in the course of time, they violated other sins, ma'ale aleim hakosav kilu ikrivu betuma. So the pasuk considers their behavior, even if they conducted themselves properly in the Beis HaMikdash, but since they were corrupt in their personal conduct, whatever they did in the Beis HaMikdash, even if it was technically correct, it was still viewed as defilement. This is a very interesting moral lesson being taught over here, that one should not think that just by following letter of the law, he necessarily achieves the status of one who would be considered righteous. But because in addition to fulfilling the letter of the law, one has to do it with proper attitude, proper behavior, and proper moral conduct as well. Gufa. Again, we have a gufa statement, namely we're going to focus on something that had been quoted earlier. Before we continue in the Gemara, we would like to take note of that which we've written under the No Say heading on the side of the Gemara. Number one, Machloikis Rav V'Levi Le'eze mashkim hityaches Yosi ben Yoezer bedino de mashkin shel beis hamikdash tahurim. Now we saw in the past a Tanaic source in which Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer said that the mashkim, that the liquids of the Beis HaMikdash are tahor. So we're going to be focusing in our Gemara as to what mashkim was he referring to. There is a possibility that he's referring to mashki base mitbochaya, with a tes in that word, mitbochaya, meaning the mashkim you find at the slaughtering site. This is something we've discussed in the past, which is a reference to blood and water. And we saw mashki base midbochaya, the Dalet and Zion interchange in that word, and you would get mizbeach, which would include not only blood and water, but also the liquids of wine and oil. So what was he referring to when he said that the mashkim, the liquids of the Beis HaMikdash, are tahor, meaning they don't mekabel tumah? Number two, l'or hamachloikos shoyu adko, in light of the controversies that we've seen till now, one, or Aleph, Bein Rav Ushmuel, and the second, Machlokas, Bein Rav V'Levi, HaGemora Dono Be'eich Levi Ushmuel Soivrim B'Nosim Ashniim. We're going to want to investigate what's Levi's position and Shmuel's position in the other one's Machlokas, in the other case. Arachnu Taktsir HaMachlokas, we've prepared an abbreviated version of the controversies, Kedei Lohokel Al HaMa'akav, in order to be able to keep track of the progress of the Gemara. Yesh Litzayin Shelahavonas HaSugya Yesh Litzomei L'Rashi, we want to emphasize that for understanding the Gemara in a fuller sense, one has to keep a close tab on Rashi's explanation. Now, we've listed the following. Yossi, number one, Roman numeral number one, Yossi ben Yoezer says, Mashki beis mitbochaya dochen. The liquids of the beis mitbochaya are dochen. Dochen means are tohor. Rav says tohor mamish. Rav says that means that they are resistant to absorbing tuma whatsoever. Shmuel says tohor milatame achirim. When Yosef ben Yoezer says they're tohor, it means that they do not transmit their tuma to others. Aval tumas atzmon yeshlem, but they themselves can become defiled. Roman numeral number two. Rav toni mashki beis mit bochaya tohor. Rav, in his presenting or his understanding of Yosef ben Yoezer, says that Yossi ben Yoezer is referring to the liquids of the base mitbochaya, the slaughtering site. That's water and blood, mayim and dam. B'mashki, there's mashki base mitbochaya, the liquids of the that are characteristic of the mizbeach. That's tome, yayin and shemen. That's a reference to wine and oil. Levi Tani, Levi, however, has, as his understanding, Mashki Beis Midbochaya Tohor. According to Levi, that's a reference to the Dalit HaMashkim, all four liquids, water, blood, wine, and oil, are Tohor. Now, as far as what does Levi mean when he says Tohor, well, that we'd have to tie that back into what we see under Roman numeral number one. Does it mean tor altogether, or tor only insofar as the inability to transfer tumah to something else? And likewise, when you look at Roman numeral number one, we will be asking ourselves, what does Shmuel hold in the machlokes featured in Roman numeral number two? When Shmuel says that liquids are tohor, in terms of transferring their tuma to something else, what liquids? Is that a reference to just water and blood, or does that include yayin and shemen as well? So as you can see, we're going to be focusing on Shmuel in Roman numeral number one. What does he hold with regard to the issue discussed in Roman numeral number 2, and we'll be looking at Levi, who appears in Roman numeral number 2, and asking what does he hold with regard to the topic under discussion in Roman numeral number 1. As far as Shitas Rav is concerned, Rav spells out his opinion, and that's why we have a double underline under Rav, so you can see that he appears in both cases, number 1 and Roman numeral number 2. Another issue, Roman numeral number 3, V'inyan ha de'anu ha-kohanim lanavi tahor, regarding that which the kohanim answered in the test that was put to them, and they answered tahor, l'rav, according to Rav, to'u, shenishalu al revi'i, v'yesh letamos. Again, Rav appears in this case, and he says that they had made a mistake because they were asked about a revi'i level of Tumah, they said Tor when they should have been Metameh. And according to Shmuel, Lo Tou, because they were Shenishalu al Chamishi betumah v'tiaru. They were asked about a fifth level of Tumah in Kochim, and they declared Tor, which is correct. With that elaborate introduction aside, we now turn to the Gemara. At the slash mark, you can see Gufa, Rav Toni Mashki Beis Mitpochaya. Rav learns in the words of Yossi Ben Yoezer when he said Dochein Tohor, so he is referring, Rav learns that that's a reference to the liquids of the Beis Mitpochaya, the slaughtering site, blood and water. Velevi Toni Tona Mashki Bei Mitpochaya. And Levi has as his version of Yossi ben Yoezer as being dochin, the liquids that are associated with the altar, which includes not only the blood and water, but also water, also wine and oil. We have a mivneh heading, but this mivneh you'll have to look at the other margin. It's crowded already on the first margin. So the second margin, you see the mivneh and a house shape appears, and we've noted Havlotas Levi Ushmuel. We're going to highlight Levi and Shmuel, Kidei Levar Mar Emdosam, to clarify what is their position, B'machlokes V'acheres, regarding the other machlokes. And we tried to explain that already by looking at Roman numerals number 1 and 2 in our introductory remarks. Now we turn to the Gemara. Ula Levi. According to Levi, now Levi, we had just cited, and he said that the Dochein Tahara was a reference to all four liquids. So we say LeLevi Hanicha Isvirole Kishmuel. Levi, things will work out for Levi if he accepts Shmuel's position. The Omar Shmuel said in. And that you could see in our introduction, we said this was Roman numeral number 1 regarding what does Dochein mean. So Levi will work out, things will work out for Levi if he holds like Shmuel de Omar Dochein Milatame Tumas Acherim, that the Dochein expression that had been used by Yossi ben Yoezer means that the liquids in question are Dochein, or Tohor, with regard to transmitting Tumah onwards. Avotumas atzmon yesh lahen, but they have their own inherent their own tuma that they can themselves absorb from something else. Mishkachas law, then we find tuma that's referred to in the pasuk. Don't forget the Navi asked them, is there tuma? And the Kohanim had answered, we find then that there's tuma. Dinagi kulu barishon, that all of the liquids had touched themselves. All of them touched a first level tuma. In other words, you didn't have a chain of tuma taking place, but rather they all touched a rishon the tuma. So each one got their own inherent tuma. Well, this idea of getting their own inherent tuma is a function of holding like Shmuel, that they can't pass tuma on to something else, but they get their own tuma. Ela, I sovar le kirav di omar dochein mamish. However, if Levi were to hold like Rav, that dochein in the posuk means no inherent tuma either, hechi mishkachas lo, then how can you account for the tuma that is referred to in the posuk? Let's just review this point. According to Levi, Levi says all four liquids were referred to as being dochein. So, and dochein means tohor. All four liquids then are considered tohor. But the pasuk mentions that there is tumah. So, we could explain that simply by saying that all four liquids, as Levi presents things, had become inherently tumah. That's because Levi would hold like Shmuel, and they cannot pass tumah on to something else. However, if Levi, who refers to all four tumah, all four liquids, is going to take accept Rav's position that dochein means no inherent tumah, so there's only tahara as far as that's concerned. But the pasuk says that there is tumah. Therefore, al korchuch, the Gemara says kishmuel svirolei. Therefore, Levi is going to have to hold like Shmuel, meaning that the dochein in the pasuk means tahor from passing tumah on, but themselves able to absorb in their own tuma. We continue. Ule Shmuel. Shmuel, who had appeared in Roman numeral number 1 in our introduction, Shmuel's position being that the dochein simply meant they cannot pass tuma on to something else, but the liquids absorb their own tuma from having touched something else. Ule Shmuel, and Shmuel said that the Kohanim did not make a mistake. And when the Kohanim were Metahir, they were Metahir only because they were asking about a fifth level of Tumah, but not, and that's why the Kohanim said Tohor. So the Gemara says, Ule Shmuel honicha I sovar lo kerav. Things will work out well, according to Shmuel, if he holds, like Rav, the Toni Mashki Beis Mit bochaya, that there is tahara only as far as water and blood are concerned. Avol mashki bei mit bochaya, but as far as wine and oil, achrini nami mitamu, they can pass tuma on to other things. So Shmuel, let's just remind ourselves that he had spoken about the issue of inherent tuma versus that these liquids have, but the ability to pass on, they do not have that ability. And right now we're saying things will work out if that description of Shmuel is limited to water and blood. But as far as oil and wine are concerned, they will be able to pass tuma on to something else. So, Revi, hu delo ovid chamishi, hoshlishi ovid Revi. And Shmuel had said that the Kohanim were asked about a Chamishi. So, Chamishi they don't make. That's why they answered Torah. But a Revi, they could make. Elo isovar lo kelevi. However, if Shmuel is going to hold like Levi, the Toni Mashki Bei Mitbochaya, Levi spoke about all four liquids as being Dochein. And Shmuel says Dochein means unable to pass tuma on to something else. It would then come out that all of the mashkim, all four liquids, cannot metamis something else. Well, if that's the case, my iria revi de lo avid chamishi, why then does the posuk refer to the fourth level not being able to make a fifth level? Afilu sheni ushlishi nami lo avdi. Well, because there's no passing on of tuma, they don't make a third level, nor do they make even a second level of tuma. And yet the posuk spoke very clearly about passing on to spoke about the making of a fifth level, to which Shmuel said the Kohanim were correct. They don't make a fifth level, but a fourth level could be made. So, al korchuk, therefore, you have to say that as far as Shmuel is concerned, kerav svira lei, that on that regarding what type of mashkim Rav must hold, Shmuel must hold like Rav, that the dochein was referring originally only to the blood and water. But as far as wine and oil are concerned, tumah could be passed on to a third and fourth level as well. Tanya kavose de Rav, Tanya kavose de Levi. In the machlokas with which we opened up this section of Gemara, Rav teaching mashki beis mitbochaya, blood and water, and Levi teaching mashki beis mitbochaya, not just blood and water, but wine and oil as well. So we have brises that support both approaches. We continue in the Gemara. Tanya kavose de Levi. The source presented now supports Levi. It says, Hadam v'yayin v'shemen v'mayim. Mashki bei midbochaya. You see the expression midbochaya, the mashkin of the mizbeach, and you see that that includes that which we've dashed, underlined, blood and water as well. So that shows you that we have this source is including under the midbochaya heading all four liquids. That's like Levi. Now there's more information in the Gemara, but that's the important point to emphasize at this point, to see how we have a support in this source to Levi. And what does it teach? Point number one, shenitme'u bifnim v'osian l'chutz, if they became tomei in the azora and then were taken outside, tahorin, they are tohor. And Rashi explains tohor means they are tohor from, they will not metama something else. The concept of a liquid becoming tomei in order to metama something else doesn't apply here. Rashi says tohorin miletame achirim sharei lo yordo lahem toras tumo mitchilu letame achirim, since they became tomei while in the azora. So the concept of something become tome and with the ability to pass the tuma onwards doesn't apply. But they themselves are tome, as the pasuk in the prophecy of Haggai indicated. So that's point number one in the source. Point number two in the diamond number two, nitmu bachutz veichnisam bifnim tomeim. If any one of these four liquids became tome outside the azora and then were brought into the azora, they will have the ability to metame other things as well. Bear in mind that we're kind of awaiting a second braisa. So you'll notice we have a bracketed section here. This bracket enables you to skip immediately to see that there's Tanya Kavasi Darav that appears second line from the bottom. In the meantime, within the brackets, so there's a discussion concerning the point that was mentioned in the Reisha of this Tanaic source. So that having been said, let's go through the bracketed section. The Gemara asks, Eini, is that so? Referring to diamond number one, namely where if any one of the four liquids became tame in the Azora and were carried outside, so they are not going to metame something else. Is that really so? V'omer of Shua ben Levi, Mashki bei midbochaya, lo omru dochin elo b'mekoman. Rabbi Yeshua says that the concept of dochin, of tahara, to these liquids applies only b'mekoman, in their place, meaning in the Azora. My love, is this not? Does this not mean limute nitnu bifnim v'osian l'chutz, to the exclusion of a case where they became tomei in the azara but were taken outside? If they were taken outside, then they could mitame something else. Lo, that's not what's being excluded. Rather, when Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi says that lo amru dochin el b'mekoman, it's limute to the exclusion of nitnu b'chutz v'chnisam bifnim, where they became tomei outside and were brought inside, then they will metam other things. The Gemara asks, "Vah bimakoyman komar," but Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said that they're tor only bimakoman. not in the case that they're taken outside. He says, that's not so. Hachi ka'omar. Thusly, Rabbi Shimon Levi was saying, lo omru dochein, elo shenitme'u b'mekomon. The idea of dochein, of tara, applies if they became tomei, their initial tuma was in the azora, in their mekomon. So, and then we say, if they became tomei in their in the original place, in their mekomon, then they would not metame, even if they are taken outside. Tanyo kavose de Rav. Now we have a Tanaic source supporting Rav, who spoke about two liquids being classified as mashki beis mit bochaya. In other words, taking blood and water and separating them from oil and wine. It says, Hadam v'amayim mashki beis mit bochaya. Notice the difference between this source and the previous source. Here we have the same dot underlined under Dam and Mayim, and in this source they're classified as Mashki Beis Mitbochaya, the slaughtering site liquids. Shinit Me'u, if they became Tomei, Bein Bekalim, Bein Bekarka, whether they're in vessels or in the ground. Tahorin. Rabbon, or Rabbi Shimon Omer, we're at the top of Omid Beis, Bekalim Tomeim, Bekarka Tahorin. If they're found in vessels, so they become Tomei. If they're found on the ground, so they are Tohar. Omar of Papa, Afilu Lamanda Omar Tumas Mashkin Doraisa. Even according to the opinion that says Mashkin, the Tumas Mashkin, that liquids can become Tomei, is a Torah level phenomenon. Mashki beis mit bochaya hilchisa gemiri la. When it comes to the liquids of the mit bochaya, the oral tradition teaches us that they are not tomei. They don't become tomei. So Rav Papa makes a general comment about tumas mashkin in general. In other words, mashkin in general, there could be tuma shayach to them. That has relevance to liquids in general. However, the liquids of the Beis HaMikdash slaughter site, oral tradition teaches us that they are tohar. We start a question. You'll notice that the question is a long question made of two parts. And on the side, under our Nosei Mivneh heading, where we feature the diamond, we've written Shnei Kushos Al Hodi Omar Rav Papa, two questions focused on that which Rav Papa said. Afilu Madomar Tumas Mashkin Doraisa Mashki Beis Mit Bochaya Uchiso Gemiri La, that they are not Tomei. So we start the question Omale Rav Huna Brei Rav Noson Le Rav Papa. The Elohadi Omar Rebbe Elazar, that which Rebbe Elazar taught, we have a source. Ein Tuma Lemashkin Kol Iker. Rebbe Elazar says that there is no Tuma to liquids. Sharei Heid Yosi Ben Yoezer Ish Tzreda, for he had testified al mashki beis mit bochaya dochein. So using Yosi ben Yoezer as a basis, Rebbe Elazar concluded that there's no tumas mashkin whatsoever. Ve'i hilchisa gemiri law, if as Rav Papa said, that mashki beis mit bochaya is an oral tradition, is a halacha lemoshe misinai, mi gam rinon mina. Would we learn from it? There's a principle that halachas that are halacha lemoshe misinai do not serve as the basis for other areas of halacha. You don't learn ein gemirin me halacha. Well, we see that Rebbe Elazar does learn from the Mashki Beis Mit Bochaya Dochein idea. So that's a problem for Rav Papa. Number two, Omar Le Ravina Le Ravashi. The ha Reb Shimon, the Omar Tumas Mashkin the Oraisa. Reb Shimon had said that Tumas Mashkin is the Oraisa. The Sanya Reb Yosi Reb Shimon Oimrin the Kalim Torim the Ochlim Tamein. These Tanoim, you see, Reb Shimon says that Mashkim, when they become Tomei, their Tumah has relevance to food, but they're not Mitame vessels. The Hocha Ko'omar Rabbi Shimon, and here, namely at the top line, we see Reb Shimon saying, Bekalim Tameim, Bekarka Tahorim, that when the liquid is found in a vessel, so the liquid is subject to being Mekabel Tuma. When the liquid is in the ground, it's not subject to being Mekabel Tuma. Ve'i Hilchisohi, if as Rav Papa said, that the Mashki Beis Mitbochaya are Tohor Mihalocha L'moshe Misinai, Mali Bekalim, Mali Bekarka. What difference would it make if these Mashki Beis Mitbochaya, which Reb Shimon was speaking about, are, what difference would it make if it's found in a vessel or on the ground? So that is Kashya, that is a difficulty. So that we have difficulty vis-a-vis regarding Rav Papa's conviction that the Mashki Beis Mitbochaya Tohor is halocha l'moshe misinai. This last point being, if it's Tohor, so it should be Tohor, whether not only if it's found on the ground, but also in vessels as well. Why the difference? So that's left as a point of difficulty. Omar Rav Papa, Ho di Amris, Bekarka Tohorim. That which Reb Shimon had said, we have a little arrow to meet it, right-hand side of the Gemara. You can align this with the arrow at the top line. Commenting on that which Reb Shimon had said regarding the Mashki Beis Mitbochaya, that Bekarka Tahorim, Lo Shanu Elo Mayim, that's a reference only to water, water that's in the ground, or that's in a pit, or in a depression on the ground. Avodam Lo, but the Tahara would not apply to blood. Umayim nami lo amoron, and regarding water as well, it was said that they are tahorim elo tahavi revius, that there is a revius, which is a liquid quantity, it's a small liquid quantity, dechozi lahapil be machtin vitsinoros, it's fit, it serves as a type of mikveh for needles and other small implements. Avo lo havi revius, if it's less than that, tamein, then they will, the water, though it's in the ground, will makabel tuma. If it's a revius, which is an amount of water in which you could submerge a needle, for example, so technically speaking, that is metahir, even though it's much less than the standard 3 cubic amas that we are familiar with when we speak about a minimum size mikveh. We speak about 40 sa'ah. This is a mere singular one revius. Nevertheless, it is capable of being metaher, a very small implement. However, if it's an amount of water less than that, so it doesn't have a mikveh status, and hence it will makabel, the water will makabel tuma. Before we continue, we glance at the side of the Gemara, where we have a nosei, a topic heading. Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, demashkin temeim, temeim lakol, demashma koleil afilu kelim. We're going to look into Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, that says that mashkim are metame, and when he speaks about that mashkin are metame, it would seem that they're metame even vessels. That would be Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Omar Mor, this is a quote from a source that we had back on Tes Zayin Omer Alf. It's quite a way back. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, La Kol Tomei. Now, the Gemara asks a question. You'll notice this question lasts quite a few lines. Lemeimra Desova Rabbi Yehuda Tumas Mashkin Letame Tumas Kalim Doraisa. Are you suggesting that Rabbi Yehuda will hold that liquids that become tamei are tamei to the extent that they could even metame vessels. V'hotnan, do we not have the following source? Kol hakelim sheyesh lahem acharayim v'toch, all vessels that have an interior and an exterior. That's, there's an acharayim is outside and toch is inside. Kigon hakorim vaksosis vasakim v'martzufin, like pillows and mattresses and sacks and other martzufim or leather receptacles. Nitmo tocho, nitmo gabo, if the interior becomes tomei, the exterior also becomes tomei. Nitmo gabo, lo nitmo tocho. If the exterior, the gav, the outside of the vessel, comes into contact with tumah, the interior does not become tomei. Omer Bihuda, bamed vomamurim, shenitmu machmas mashkin. This distinction applies only if contact was made with liquids. Avol nitmu machmas sheretz. If, however, contact was made with a dead sheretz, sheretz being a certain type of small creature, the Torah enumerates eight of them. For example, a dead mouse. So if it became tomei through contact with a sheretz, nitmo tocho, nitmo gabo, nitmo gabo, nitmo tocho, then no distinction is made. If whether contact was made with the interior or the exterior, the other side will also become tomei. The isalka daitoch tumas mashkin l'tamei kelim doraisa. If, as was suggested in the source that opened up this section, where Rabbi Yehuda said lakol tomei, if that were in fact a Torah phenomenon, Ma'li nitmo machmas mashkin, ma'li nitmo machmas sheretz. What difference would it make whether the vessel in question became tomei through contact with a dead sheretz or through mashkin? If, once again, if tumas mashkin, m'latame kelim, to communicate tuma to vessels is a Torah level reality, then even if contact was made with the outside of the vessel, the interior should also become tomei. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Chozar Bo Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda retracted from his from the original statement that in which he said Lakol Tomei. That being the case, so then Tumas Mashkin is not something that is on a Torah level for being Matama other things. Ravina Omar Leolam Lohodar. No, Rabbi Yehuda did not retract. However, within the realm of Mashkin, there is room for making a distinction. Ha b'Mashkin aboin machmas yodayim. Ha b'Mashkin aboin machmas sheretz. If the liquid became tomei because of contact with one's hands, there's a concept of hands before they're washed; they are tomei, and we call that tumas yodayim. If there's contact between hands that are unwashed with liquid, that's a tuma de rabbana. So the liquid becomes tomei, but on a rabbinic level, that will not mitame the vessel. And that's when we make a distinction that, like that was featured before. However, if it's mashkin, if you're dealing with liquid that became tomei because of contact with a dead sheretz, then there will be tuma across the boards. Namely, if such liquid would mitama a vessel, whether it comes into contact with the interior or the exterior, the other side will become tomei. The Gemara asks, now this question lasts a couple of lines. Ihochi, if there is room for making a distinction within the realm of Mashkin, Aditoni, instead of teaching Bamed Vamamurim Shinitmu Machmas Mashkin, you'll notice we have a little arrow to the left-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with what was featured by the arrow above. And when Rabbi Yehuda in the source made a distinction, or he qualified when is the distinction made between contact with tum on the inside versus the outside, and he said that applies to mashkin as opposed to sheretz, liflog velisni bedida? Could he not have made that distinction within the realm of mashkin? Generally speaking, if we want to make a distinction, we would prefer to make the distinction in a more focused, concentrated fashion within one realm, as opposed to going cross-realm, making the distinction between mashkin versus sheretz, sheretz representing an outside category. Make the distinction in a more refined, focused fashion as follows. Bamed vamumurim, when do you say that there is a distinction, a difference made between contact between outside versus inside? That's b'mashkin aboin machmas yodayim. That's when you're dealing with liquids that became tummy through contact with hands. Avo b'mashkin aboin machmas sheretz, but the liquids that came into contact with a dead sheretz, Nitmo toho, nitmo gabo. Then no distinction is made. But the source didn't say that. In the original source, the upper arrow, Rabbi Yudah, in order to make a distinction, had to go to a totally different realm. Ela machvarta kidishonin meikoro chozar bo Rabbi Yudah. Rather, in order to resolve the source from Tezayim and Aleph with the second source that we had quoted in this section, it's more likely, machvarta means it's preferable, it's clearer to resolve the two sources by simply saying that Rabbi Yudah retracted his original statement. His original statement in which he declared mashkin or lakol tamei or tamei across the boards, putting mashkin on a doraisa level of tuma that he has since retracted from. Ibay alaho, a question is raised. Mikelim hu dehodarbe avol ba'oichlin krebiosi v'rebishimon svirule. Notice, of course, we're in the middle of a long question. When we mention that Rabbi Yudah was chozerbo, that he retracted from his original declaration that Tumas Mashkin is the Oraisa. So when he made that retraction, did he make that in a limited fashion, namely that the Mashkin are not Metama vessels, but Mashkin are still Metama other food, like Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon would hold that Mashkin are Metama Oichlin Midoraisa? Oidilmo Legamri Hodarbe Karebi Meir, or did Rabbi Yudah retract from his original statement to now hold like Rabbi Meir that says mashkin are not mitame anything, even food, when you're dealing with a Torah level? Rabbi Meir holding that mashkin aren't mitame other things. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Toshma. So after the question is raised, so we see an attempt to answer it. This Toshma response will last a number of lines. It takes you down a few lines down Yud Ches Omen Aleph. The source discusses a cow, whether it be a sacrificial animal or a common animal. Sheshosisa Mei Chatos. The cow drank Mei Chatos. Mei Chatos are literally waters of the Chatos. The Chatos is a reference to the Pora Aduma. The Pora Aduma, the red heifer, was an animal that was slaughtered and burnt, and its ashes were used for being Metayer, someone who was Tomei Mace. The ashes were mixed with water, and we're talking about that water ash mixture was drunk by an animal. It should be pointed out that Mei Chatos in and of itself is something that is metame. It's metame people and vessels. As the Pasuk says, Vanogea b'mechatos, etc. Featured in Bamidbar Perek Yud Tesen, Rashi quotes that. So now we have an animal that drank mechatos. And then shortly thereafter, the animal is slaughtered. The source tells us, Bisra Tomei. The meat is Tomei. Rabbi Yudah Omer. Now we dashed underline Rabbi Yudah because he is the focus of our discussion. Rabbi Yudah Omer, Botlu b'me'eha. They become void inside the cow. V'i salka daitoch. Mikelim hu dehadar be avol ba'oichlin k'reb Yosef Rabbi Shimon svirole. If you were to say that when Rabbi Yehuda was chozer, when he retracted his comment that mashkin are mitame, but it was a limited retraction, namely only as far as vessels they're not mitame, but food mashkin could be mitame, like Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon hold. Amai botlu me'el legamri. Why does the source say that they're completely botel? Nehi the tumo chamura lo mitamu. Granted that they can no longer metama a person or vessels having been drunk by the cow. Tumo kalo mio netamu. Let them still retain the ability to metama the meat. And yet Rabbi Yehuda says no. The Gemara asks, the Gemara responds, my botlu b'meo nami, when Rabbi Yehuda says botlu b'meo, that they become void in inside the cow, botlu mitumo chamura avotumo kalo mitamas, mitamu. That's in fact what it means. It means that became botel from the ability to mitama odom and kalim, people and vessels, but they do retain tumo kalo, the ability to mitama food. The Gemara asks, Michlal, the Tanakama sover tumo chamura nami mitamu. The Tanakama, who was more restrictive or more, let's see, harsh than, more stringent than Rebbe Yehuda, if Rebbe Yehuda is saying that the mei chatas drunk by the para would be matama, that liquid found inside the cow would be matama, if Rebbe Yehuda is saying that will matama food, then the Tanakama, who is more stringent, would then be holding that it will metama vessels as well. But that doesn't fit into the words. Ha bisra tomei kotoni. The Tanakama said the meat is tomei. But the Tanakama could have taught us a bigger chiddush, namely that even vessels would become tomei through contact with this mei chatos. The Gemara says, Kula Rabbi Yehuda hi. The source is really entirely Rabbi Yehuda. There isn't any Tanakama here. The Chisuri Machasra Vachi Kotoni. The source reads thusly, or is to be understood thusly. Pora Sheshosa saw Mechatos, Bisra Tome. A Pora, a cow that drank Mechatos, so its flesh, its meat is Tome, Bamedvom Urim, Tumo Kala. The level of Tumo that we're speaking about is Tumah kala, meaning it's mitama, just food. Avol tumah chamura lo, but the mechatos cannot mitama the intense level of tumah, which would affect man and vessels. She Rabbi Yehuda omer botlu b'me'aha. As Rabbi Yehuda says, it becomes void inside the cow, and when we speak about becoming void, it loses its original status of being able to be mitama people and vessels. But as far as being matama oichlin, food, which we refer to it by the term tumakala, that it still retains. So far, this had been approach number one, and you can see the number one is written in to the above the fifth line of the Gemara. Rav Ashi Omar, le'olam botlu b'me'eho means legamri. When Rabbi Yehuda says Botlu Memela, it really means completely void. It means legamri. And why is that? Mishum dahavile mashke soruach, because it's considered a disgusting liquid. So that's as far as this specific case of the cow that drank the mechatos. However, in general, mashkin that become tomei could still very well be understood to be mitama food and drink. Just that over here, it's disgusting. It gets mixed up with the stomach juices of the animal, hence it loses all tuma capacity. So that according to both answers number one and two, it would come out that as far as Shitas Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, vis-a-vis Mashkin, the Mashkin that he was Hodar Bey, originally claiming that they have a Doraisa level of Tuma across the boards. He reversed that position, holding that that Mashkin could Mitame Oichlin, namely Tuma Kala. The difference between answers number 1 and 2 is the approach to the liquid consumed by the Pora. According to answer number 1, there was an attempt to classify that Mashkin as an example of all other Mashkin. According to answer number 2, that did not represent other Mashkin, being that this is Mashkin Soruach, but Mashkin in general, if they become Tomei, are Mitama Oichlin. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.